much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. So in that Bible reading that Martin just read to us, then we had different comparisons used. So if Jesus is the vine, who is the gardener? Evie. God. God the Father is the gardener. Who are the branches? We are the branches. Oh, sorry. What now? The fruit. What do you think the fruit is? Good deeds. Fruit of the spirit. Very good. And what would you? You know, what's the sap then? What? Oh, Evie. Well done, Evie. And I don't think even there was a message that time, was there? No, that was very good. That was very good. Well done, Evie. Very good. So Jesus, when teaching his disciples, describes himself then as the true vine. But what grows on vines? Grapes grow on vines. Now, I don't know. They haven't been washed. Does anyone have any preference for white or red? So what do we use grapes for? We can use it to make wine. What else can we have? One of each. Does one taste better than the other? Does white grape taste better than a red grape? What else can we make from grapes? Yes, we've got obsessed with wine now. Yes, we know we can make wine from grapes. That goes without saying. And we can have grape juice as well. But what else comes from grapes? Raisins! Lovely dried grapes. Raisins. Well, Jesus calls us his branches because Christ supports us. Like a tree trunk supports its branches, so Jesus wants us to bear fruit for him. He wants us to stay close to him and follow his teachings. And this means being the best that we can be, loving each other, loving the beautiful world that he has created for us. Bless you, yes. Now, Jesus describes himself as the true vine, doesn't he, in verse 1. Some of the people listening to Jesus at the time, they might have been shocked by that. This is because in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was called the vine. But they had failed to bear the glory of the Lord, failed to bear fruit for that glory. And so God had promised that one day a true vine would come. A vine that would be truly faithful. A true Israel. And here Jesus was claiming to be that true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Now this idea was shown back in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. As well. But in Psalm 80, we also read how God took the nation of Israel from Egypt, drove out the nations, and then planted this vine. And where was that vine planted? It was planted in the Promised Land, in the land of Canaan. And Moses sent spies out into Canaan, if you remember that, back in the book of Numbers. And those spies were sent out into this land to find out what was there, who was living there. And the spies brought back a cluster of grapes. But look at it. It was gigantic. This was an enormous cluster of grapes that they brought back from the land of Canaan. So much so that it took two men to carry this one cluster of grapes back to Moses. And that gigantic cluster is a picture of Jesus' message from John chapter 15. Jesus will bring a wonderful harvest. So if you've left John 15, come go back to John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So if we're going to be different, we need to bear fruit. So what types of trees are they? They're fruit trees, but what type of fruit tree? Which one's the apple? One on the right? And the others? Not cherry, no. Often, which one's a pear tree? Very good. Evie? It is the one in the middle. Well done. So how do you know a tree? Shape of it? Its leaves? And the fruit that it produces. So the one on the left was an orange tree. So you will know a tree by its fruit. The oranges, the pears, the apples. So in the same way that we can recognize an apple tree by its fruit, we can recognize those believers who are united in Jesus, because our lives will bloom with faith and hope and love. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But in him, we can be fruitful, bringing glory to God. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. But what is this fruit that we should show? What things can bring glory to God? The way that we live our lives. Reveal that relationship that we have with Christ. And this good fruit, as Eleanor said earlier on, is described by Paul, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What do those words mean? So, which one is described by this? I am happy inside, even when I go through difficult times, because I know that I am loved and that Jesus is with me every step of the way. I am It's just my, I'm not saying. Yes, it's supposed to be joy. The fruit of the Spirit, just to remind you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I know that your feelings are tender, so I won't be rough when I speak to you. I won't push you around or intimidate you, but will treat you with respect. I am gentleness. I am willing to wait for things to happen in God's perfect time because I trust him. I don't complain and grumble as I wait. I am patient. I will find ways to make your life better. I might help you with a job that needs doing. I might write you an encouraging letter or comfort you when you're sad or tell you about the love of Jesus. I am kindness. I feel calm inside because I know that because of Jesus, all of my sins have been forgiven. I know that I am a loved child of God. Even when difficult things happen in my life, I still have this calm inside me. I am peace. I will keep my promises to you, even when it's really hard to do so. I will be a loyal friend to you, even if you get sick or have other problems. I won't join in with people who say horrible things about you behind your back, but will stand up for you. I am faithfulness. Thank you. I try to do the things that will please my Heavenly Father, like serving other people, visiting the sick, giving some of what I have to those who are poor. I choose to be honest and not to lie. I keep away from people doing bad things as I don't want to join in. I am goodness. Yes. I will not say whatever comes into my head, but will be careful what words I speak to you. When I have a bag of sweets or a packet of biscuits, I won't eat them all at once, but will share them with you. When I am cross with you, I won't punch you or swear at you. I am self-control. I am willing to sacrificially give all that I have and all that I am to you, so that you are blessed. I am love. I don't know, on Radio 4 this week, there was a program about the kindness test. It's a survey that the University of Sussex are doing about the effect of kindness on our society and on different cultures and what benefits it has. And they invite us all to join in. So if you have half an hour, go to Radio 4, the kindness test, and there's a questionnaire to fill in about kindness, which is quite interesting. So when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we see all of it, of course, in Jesus. Jesus is love, pure love. He's full of joy, peace, and patience. Jesus is kind, good, and faithful. He's full of gentleness and self-control. And if we're to become more like Jesus and bear this good fruit, we must stay connected to him. In order to be fruitful for God, the branch must remain in the true vine. Other translations use the word abide instead of remain. You can remain somewhere, whether it's your home or not. But to abide somewhere means it's your permanent home. The branches abide in the vine. This is their home. The disciples must remain or abide in Jesus, the faithful one, the true vine. GCSE biology at the back. What are the tubes that carry nutrients around a plant? You do your GCSE, that's very good. No. I have to speak to their biology teachers. So it's xylem and phloem, you know, these great words. But when you think about the structure of a plant, you've got all these tubes carrying the nutrients around the plant. We can trace how those nutrients travel up the plant. Or if we use the idea of a mobile phone, In order to work, it needs regular charging. It needs to be plugged into the power source in order to be receive that power again, so that the power can travel along those cables. Without the power supply, the mobile phone would be dead. As Christians, we must be plugged into Christ in order to live. So we need to stay connected to Jesus. And how do we do that? By spending time with him. In all our relationships, whether it be with members of our family or friends or neighbours, we need to give them time so that we get to know them. Nowadays, there are lots of ways of staying connected with people, and we found that sometimes to our benefit over the last 18 months. We can speak to them face to face, have a chat, speak on the phone, FaceTime them. We might send a message or a text or an email or use social media. But one of the gifts, of course, that we have been given to stay connected to God is the gift of prayer. Now, Stephen, if I go to streaming services, does that get me straight to the... Yeah. If I go up to streaming services, will that get me... Oh! No. So much for that. We'll go and look at the Army and Navy thing instead. Let's look at this video about prayer.
You can talk to people in many ways. You can pick up the telephone, send an email, write a letter, or even hire a light aircraft and fly a banner across the sky. But if you want to talk to God, you pray. People pray in many different ways. Eyes open, eyes closed, heads up, heads down, hands together, hands in the air, hands open. And some people have developed even more elaborate methods. Prayer can be about anything. It's about how you feel, the good stuff and the bad stuff. A bit like having a really honest conversation, but with God. But it's like having a conversation. So there's no need to use special words or go to a special place, because you can pray anywhere, like a sofa, the park, in the office, a church, a supermarket, in bed, the beach, on your own, in a group, or on your own again, or when you're otherwise engaged. And you can pray at any time. And like having a conversation, the better you get to know God, the better it becomes. And the best thing is, God talks back. Sometimes in ways we don't expect, sometimes with answers we don't always understand. But if you think he hasn't heard you, you'd be surprised by what he hears. You'd be surprised by what he knows. Hey, stop that. What do you think you're doing?
Let's look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Think of all the great words that Jesus has spoken to us. When those words are truly in us, they will shape what we ask for. We will find ourselves praying for the things that matter to Jesus. Hopefully, we will pray for a fruitful life that will preserve, that we will persevere with Christ, and that we will bring glory to the Father. If Christ's words are in us and we bounce them back to God, then he will hear and answer, because they are the things that he wants for us as well. But what happens if we don't remain in the vine? Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Think back to when you were a child. Think that you are now a child. Think about how your mum and dad would grab your hand before you cross the road. What might have happened if your mum and dad had not grabbed your hand? If we're not connected to Jesus, then bad things can happen. So the only way to produce fruit is to be powered by that connection to Christ. If we want to grow in patience, let us abide in Christ. If we want to become more loving, let us abide in Christ, and so on. And we do this together. We're all part of the same vine. We're not separate plants growing in different vineyards. We're one plant with many branches, and we are spread far and wide in Christ, the vine. We are in communion. And as we share communion later on, we might reflect, we who are many are one body, for we all share in the one cup. The words of praise and blessing that we share over the bread and wine, they're not for a human being who lived and died, but for Jesus, the Son of God, who rose again and invites us all to abide in him. And so we say, I am the vine, you are the, if you, and I in, you will bear much. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Let's stand to sing again.